Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Father's Day by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or go to locals.com. And don't forget, check out my coffee. I have my own coffee now. What? Pichi's Coffee. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. jesseleepeterson.shop. I have with me Leonard Jackson. He's an actor, CEO, entrepreneur, and currently running for governor of California. Amazing. Welcome, man.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let me ask, get to know a little bit more about you before we get into the governor thing. What's important to you?
Woo! What's important to me? Well, one thing I've realized recently, actually, as I just finished my MBA at Pepperdine a couple years ago, and one thing I realized through that whole experience was what gives me fulfillment is seeing other people thrive. I didn't realize that. I used to do stand-up and little entertainment stuff. And
right.
I used to love to see people laugh and have a good time, but I realized it's deeper than that. I actually like to see people come up. And so that's what's important to me, seeing my fellow man do better.
Right on. You went to Pepperdine, Malibu?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was for white people.
Yeah.
How you get in there?
It's for white people. It's for people trying to come up. A lot of Asians, though. I don't know who it's for, really. Yeah, I don't know.
There were a lot of them.
Yeah.
Do you believe that we're in a fallen state? Human beings are in a fallen state?
Yeah. I think that human beings have been in a fallen state for quite some time. Every time you turn around, there's some type of chaos going on. You can't forget Civil War, World War One, World War Two.
Right.
You know, there's always been some type of. I think this is probably the most chill we've been in a minute. So, you know, I think we're always in. I think we're falling because our birth rate's dropping. You know, our birth rate is dropping. Birth rate is dropping every year.
Right.
So, in terms of that, yeah, I think so.
That's amazing. And so, are you a Christian?
I was raised Lutheran and Baptist and then non-denominational. My wife is Catholic. So I think I'm struggling with it a little bit because I want to believe, but it's hard to understand why God is making us worship him all the time. And, you know, these people go to hell and these people go to purgatory. These people go to hell. Like, it's, you know, I talk to a lot of preachers and reverends and they boils down to you just have faith or not, you know, versus because they say only God understands to that level. You follow what I'm saying? You probably say the same thing.
God understands to what level?
On the level of you're not God, so you're not going to get it all the way.
All the way what?
In terms of a full understanding.
And why not?
And you have to ask the people who tell me that.
So people tell you that you're not going to get the full understanding of God?
Right.
Who told you that?
Oh, man. You heard of RCIA?
Who?
RCIA. That's where you go to learn how to become a Catholic. You had to go to a class before you could become, you know, before you could join. Also, my neighbor, he does religious teachings at UCLA and all other colleges. He has his own church now.
Right.
Same thing, you know.
You cannot understand the things of God.
God's too big.
But why would anybody want to be a part of God if you're not going to understand him?
That's what I'm saying.
And so you're not a Christian?
I've always identified as a Christian. So I'm not going to denounce that now. Right. I just need more of an understanding so I can say it with my chest. So I can say it full-throated.
And so are you saying you're not a Christian?
No, I'm not saying
that. You're not saying that?
I'm not saying that.
Are you a Christian?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, so you're fully you fully understand what God's purpose.
So somebody told you you can't understand God.
You can't understand why God does things because you're not God. You're not on that level.
And so, like, what kind of things that God does that you can't understand? Did they tell you?
what kind of things did God do that I can't understand?
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, God created us, right?
Right.
But he created us with free will, meaning you can decide if you want to do X, Y, Z. And if you do these things, you're going to go to hell. And if you do these things, you're going to go to heaven. So is that an experiment to God? Is it a game to God? Is it entertainment to God?
That's amazing, man. And so you grew up as a Catholic, you say?
Grew up Baptist, where they were speaking in tongues and fainting and stuff like that.
And so what, your father and mother were Baptist, Baptist as well?
Yeah, my dad was, is Lutheran. My mom was Baptist.
But what did they tell you about God when you were growing up?
They said God is, he could do anything. He created us. God is all-powerful, the Almighty, and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Really? And so you don't believe in God? Or do you believe? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. No. You're not putting words.
Do you believe in God?
Yes. I believe there's a greater power. There's no way in the world all this has happened on this earth without having a higher power, which is could be called God.
And so what have you decided to do about God since you can't understand him, so these people have been telling you, and you're not sure if you're a Christian, even though you say you are? What have you decided to do with him?
I have decided to go on a journey of trying to learn more.
Right on.
You know, trying to make sense of it all. You know, I'm a big history guy. Okay. Huge history guy. They talk about the books, like the Bible, right? The Bible was put together in a very political fashion. You know, the people who had the clout, the power, the political strength got their books into the Bible. Then you got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, you know, King James. You know, so we're supposed to believe everything that's in these books, or are we not? Because people always go back to the Bible when they're trying to make a point.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But why do we believe in the Bible so much, knowing how it was put together?
Yeah.
Then you know the history behind Christianity, the Crusades and all the murder. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that has to be explained. And then Jesus, he died on the cross, right? On Friday.
Right.
But then on Sunday, he's back up. So what kind of sacrifice is that? You know, they said it's a sacrifice, right? I don't know how much sacrifice that is if he's back up in 2 days.
So do your parents know that though they raised you as a Christian that you're having these issues with Christianity? Are they aware of that?
I don't have an issue. I think it's just a conversation, and I like to
discuss
it, get some answers. A lot of times people confuse questions with blasphemy or being a non-believer. But a lot of times it's just trying to get a better understanding.
I totally understand. Yeah. And I agree with you on that part. Well, sure. That's amazing, man.
I'm sorry. My mom used to always tell me, think. I used to ask her a lot of questions. She said, why don't you just think? Just stop and think.
Yeah.
I said, oh. So now I just really think, and I almost think a little too much, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Who are you? Are you closer to your mother or your father?
Well, my mom passed away in 97.
Oh, okay. May her soul rest in peace.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I was 25 years old, and my dad's still around.
But prior to her expiring, who are you closer to?
Ooh. Well, my parents split up when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so we lived with my mom for a little while, then my dad. No, actually, we lived with her. I don't know, in-laws for a while. And then my dad finally came and got us when we were a little bit older. And then next thing I know is I was on my own. We moved 31 times before I was an adult.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did your father remarry?
Yeah.
And so you guys moved 31
times? 31 times, man.
That's crazy.
It is, yeah. From L.A. to Chicago, Texas, back to L.A., Atlanta, and then a bunch of times in each of those areas.
So what was wrong with your father who moved so much?
He was just trying to figure it out, man. He was just trying to figure it out. He wasn't in the military, nothing like that. He was just a brother trying to... But he kept his kids together. You know what I mean? Like,
that's cool.
He stuck around. He could have been like...
Yeah. Didn't he ever figure it out?
Well, yeah. I mean, he helped my company grow. He was a big part of my company up until recently. Now he's full on retired. He's, you know, we had to put him in assisted living. because he wasn't really doing so well.
But oh, okay.
He's doing a lot better now.
Right on.
He's doing a lot better now. So
nice.
Thank you. Thank God.
See? God good for something.
Yes. Yes, he is good for something.
And so...
He's good for a lot.
You grew up in Carson? Is that true?
Yeah.
Carson.
Yeah.
Carson used to be really nice.
When we got there, it was just turning into gangland.
Yeah.
So when we first got there, it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the mid to late 80s, it just, you know, you had I had a Jerry Curl Raiders hat. I was one of those. I thought I was Eazy-E, you know. But I got out and without any bullet holes, thank God.
Right on.
Yeah.
I'm glad. So you're a comedian, actor.
Yeah.
And how did you get into all that?
I was a young kid watching TV, wondering, like, why are all these kids on TV and I'm not? So I went and got a newspaper, and I started flipping at 8, 9 years old, flipping through the one ass, looking for an acting job.
Right on.
And then I found this acting class. My dad took me, and it ended up being a scam, but I got the bug. You know, you heard about the acting bug.
Absolutely.
So I just kept, you know, after high school, I went and started auditioning. I was in Atlanta at the time, and I got on the show In the Heat of the Night.
Oh, yeah?
Remember that show?
I remember that show.
And then
That's amazing.
Yeah, from there, I just started doing a lot of commercials and a lot of other TV shows. So, I'm still doing commercials and stuff. Not on the level I used to do and right. I want to do, but because now I have a business and a family and all that stuff.
So. Right on, man. That's amazing. And so are you liberal, conservative? Where are you when it comes to that?
Common sense.
Meaning what?
That means what makes the most sense is what I'm for. For example, I watch some of your stuff I was always hesitant about coming here because I probably agree with you on too much stuff. I've been, like, Black History Month, I want to get rid of it.
I
want to get rid of it.
Right on. And why?
Because these poor kids are coming up thinking they're second-class citizens.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
At least put it in high school and up. Don't start them in kindergarten, first grade. My kids went through that. You know, we went to the school and changed it to Multicultural Month because there's like 3 black kids in the school and everybody's looking at them like they some kind of animal or something. So, I've been accused of, well, I'll just say it. I think a lot of times, especially when I look at BLM and I look at, Black History or whatever it is, you know, I think we're almost our worst enemy. We're not helping ourselves. We're making it worse. I started this organization I'm starting to put together right now, and I like to, we could talk more about it later, but is the acronym I'm using right now, we're probably going to change, is called EGO. It's called Innovation, Governance, and Ownership.
Right.
You don't see that in the black community at all. You know, how many black people will have a Facebook or Uber or, you know, Amazon? None. Zero. Let me take a step back real quick. So when I was going to grad school, my younger brother was going to grad school at Howard.
Oh, okay.
And I said, oh, tell me about their entrepreneur program over there. Huh?
You're like, what though?
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. They don't even have that over there?
Yeah.
We sit here talking about DEI and affirmative action and all that, but we don't have our own businesses and banks. We're not innovating anything. We don't have anybody in government. So stop, I'm all about stop crying about it and do something about it.
That's right, man.
We know what the problem is. What are we going to do about it? Right?
And what did your brother say when you said
that? See, my brother, I don't want to put him on the spot, but he's not here, but he lives in Seattle, so he's a little bit more on the left of things. But he agreed with me. One thing I've learned is if you talk to people who are trying to be reasonable, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on.
Right.
You'll come to a consensus
absolutely.
At some point.
You just gotta
listen to each other, man.
You gotta listen.
Because you know what? You might enlighten me if I listen to you and vice versa. But if I'm going in and just wanting to argue with you, we're not gonna make a whole lot of progress.
So have you ever said to other blacks that you want to get rid of Black History Month?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they say?
They attacked me immediately.
Yeah.
And then once we listen to each other, like, yeah, because I say put it in the curriculum. The time, energy, and effort we spend trying to do Black History Month, Black Lives Matter, all these other things, spend time putting it in the books.
I've always thought that way, that if black invented things and did things, that need to be a part of the history books. And not taught as a separate thing.
Right. Why are we doing that? Singling them out. Hey, guess what? He was able to invent peanut butter. See, you guys are, you got some
right. And I often wonder why the civil rights leaders, so-called, didn't fight to get the stuff in the books rather than fight to have these special days and all that kind of stuff.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's why I always go back to our worst enemy.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned as I've run for office, you know, I've been running for office, and I go to these events, and they look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Think you doing? I feel like I'm back in the, you know, the days with, you know, the Willie Lynch days. You know? I do. I feel like they look at me like, who you think you are? You ain't no special.
The blacks look at you that way?
Yeah. You know, I've been in business for 30 years, and...
What type of business you have?
Transportation logistics. So freight transportation. So we do shipping for the U.S. military.
Right on.
You name it.
Really?
Been doing it a long time, yeah.
So do you have a white wife?
How did you know? Oh, you looked it up on the internet?
Your wife white?
Yeah, man.
I get that. I knew it.
Well, how did you know it?
What an Uncle Tom. I knew your wife was white.
I wanted to paint my lips white before I got here, but I didn't have the makeup on.
I knew your wife was white.
How?
Because you sound white, you think white, you act white. You ain't no black woman gonna put up with you.
Well, this is the king's language that we're all using.
That's right.
It's a white
man.
Language.
That's right. That's amazing.
Well, it's amazing. We're still together 26 years of marriage, 4 kids.
Really?
Grandkid.
Did you make a boy first or a girl?
2 boys first.
Alpha male.
Me? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Real men make boys first.
Let's go.
Beta male make girls first.
Hey.
Isn't that amazing?
That's on them.
And so does your wife obey you?
No.
She doesn't?
No.
Why did you marry a woman that's not going to obey you?
Well, I'll give you the short version.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, I think... Men and women see life through different lenses.
Of course.
And in different phases of life, things kind of change. Like, you know, I don't know, menopause, whatever. You know, having babies, then you go through menopause, and you know. So I think culturally, things have changed as well. You know, women used to be submissive to their husbands.
Absolutely.
That's gone. That's
huh?
gone. For better or worse, I don't know. That's a whole, let somebody else debate that. But I think we're in a culture where they're not gonna do what you tell them. And you got to, yeah.
Did you know that before you married, that she wasn't going to obey you?
No, when I married her, we were just having a lot of fun. We just had a good time, you know. And then we started having kids and stuff, then things started getting...
And you were like, what the...
Yeah.
So you knew that she wasn't going to obey you, just that you were having a fun thing. And then you finally realized, what have I done here?
No.
I got a woman that's not going to obey me.
Well, I'm learning that that's kind of the norm. It's not just me.
Right. No, it's not just you.
You know, this is 2026 versus 1976 or 56 or whatever. It's just a different time. When I was growing up, yeah, I thought, oh, okay, the man in the house, and he makes the money, right. And the woman keeps the house clean and all that. And then, you know, you learn that that's not necessarily the case.
And so how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
We use the dialogue method.
What does that mean?
Imago dialogue method. It's a sender-receiver dialogue method. It is true. Look it up, everybody.
It's a what?
It's a way of communicating effectively, where I listen to you, you listen to me, and we validate, we empathize. I know it sounds a little too clinical, but that's what we just started using that, and that helps us get through tough times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that works?
Not as well as I like it to. But it's worked enough. You know, we're still together, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
What the... That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Were you surprised you married a woman that was just like your mother?
My wife is not like my mother. My mother was super, super religious, very religious. Oh. I remember I went to go see Superman. I came home and said, man, I love Superman. My mom said, the only Superman is Jesus Christ. I remember that because I was like, hey, man, don't kill my high right now.
Yeah.
But my mom was very, very religious. My wife is religious, but not to that degree.
And so when you were growing up, how would you deal with your mother when she was impatient with you? How did you deal with that?
I didn't deal with that. My mom used to whip us and all that. You know, I came up, you know.
And the black people, you can't deal with it. You have to take it, huh?
Got that right. I used to get whipped like a runaway. I mean, it was bad. You used to have, there was a twisted up extension cord. They used to hang up and on the wall. And as soon as we do something, they grab that cord.
Wow. Yeah.
It was bad.
What a mess, huh?
Man, I had whelps all over me.
No, when did you marry white?
Used to the whippings.
Did you forgive her for that?
Well, just to clear that up, my mother wasn't doing all the... It was her aunt that we lived with. She was the one whipping us all the time. My mom was...
Really?
You know, yeah. And my brothers and sisters never forgave the aunt-in-law or whatever.
Did you forgive your aunt for that?
Yeah.
You told her?
No.
Why not?
Because I was a kid and I didn't know anything.
But now that you're an adult, why haven't you told her?
Because she's been gone. She's
she died too?
Yeah, she died a long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, forgive her, man. She didn't know any better.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
her mama used to whoop her.
No, I forgive everybody.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, so you more liberal, conservative, or you can't say?
It depends on who I'm talking to. Some people would think I'm liberal. Some people would think I'm conservative.
And what
you
do
you ask
say?
Me about anything, I'll just tell you straight up how I feel about it. It's not through a lens of conservative or liberal. It's like what makes the most sense. How is it going to help the people?
Yeah. Do you have perfect peace?
I think so, believe it or not.
You do?
Yeah.
And what is perfect peace?
Perfect peace is not when you're always wanting and when you're not always, regretting or envying. That's what perfect peace, when you say that, that's my knee-jerk reaction to perfect peace. There might be a better definition, but that's my initial thought.
So you're running for governor of California.
Yes.
You're running for governor.
Right.
Black people are not allowed to run for governor.
You would think.
Oh, but they're going to think you're white.
You would think.
Because you look black on the outside, but you're white on the inside, so you'll be fine. Larry...
What did you say, Larry?
Larry Elder ran, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was really hoping that he would win.
I think he was just a little too on the extreme side of things. You know what I mean? Like, being a black conservative, you could kind of get away with certain things, maybe. But when you come out very extremist,
in
that
California,
just kind of, it kind of...
Especially in California.
It kills that little advantage you have.
Oh, okay. What made you decide to run for governor of California?
Can't take it, man. Can't take these... I'm a business owner and a parent, and a lot of our rules and regulations and our policies are not pro-business. It is not pro-parent.
Yeah.
You know, they tell my 12-year-old daughter that she could take control of all her medical, take care of all her medical. I called to get her medical records, like, oh, I need your daughter's permission. Like, she's 12. What do you mean you need her permission? Or if she was having an abortion, she doesn't have to tell her parents or to get, have a car. Like, stuff like that. Like, really? A lot of that's California. The homeless thing is ridiculous. I spent three weeks down talking to people on Skid Row, just like I'm talking to you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Trying to figure out, why are you here? What's going on? What happened? And we're band-aiding everything. You know, we need to address mental health, addiction, housing, economic opportunity, bring these jobs back, bring Hollywood back, bring these, a lot of Toyota, Tesla, they're all leaving. I have friends and businesses that are leaving every day.
Yep.
So we have to stop the bleeding there and then, address the foster care system. I am a proponent for a public boarding school program for the foster kids. That way, when they hit 18, they're either going to the military, they're going to college, or they have a trade, but they can start taking care of themselves.
I love that. I love the fact they have a trade. I remember when trade thing was, when I was growing up, you didn't have to worry about college. If you could go to trade school, you learn a trade, you got to have food on the table for the rest of your life.
HVAC, electrician. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What do you think about the no bails bond thing? They used to have that. They got rid of no bails bond. And we went up to Sacramento to fight against them doing that because the criminals are going to hang out in your neighborhood and you're going to be afraid to testify and all that kind of stuff. Will you bring back no bails bond? I mean, will you bring back the bails bond so that the people can hang out in jail until they find out they're guilty or innocent?
You know, I'd like to look at more studies behind that, but I think having the bail, I think it should be more towards the crime versus the dollar.
Okay.
If you're a safety hazard, if you're going to endanger the public, we probably need to keep you in there no matter how much money you bring.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if it's something, I don't know, it just kind of depends on the situation. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to do what makes the most sense. I don't care. Like I said, you know, this group and that group, what they want, that's important. But what makes the most sense? You know what I mean? So I'd like to look at some studies first before I come out and just say something. I'd like to have a more informed opinion on that. Yeah.
And how about the defund the police? Will you refund the police?
Like a refund?
Bring back the money. Bring back the police.
Yeah.
Pay them so they can take care of us around here.
I honestly feel that if we address the underlying causes of why we need so much policing, we will not need... Yeah, we fund them appropriately.
Right.
To answer that question.
Okay.
We fund them appropriately. However, we do what we can to reduce the amount of crime that's happening, and then maybe we don't need so much policing.
Exactly.
You know, the mental health thing is a real thing. It's a real thing. If you look at the reason why we have so much crime, a lot of it has to do with mental health. You know, the violent crime. We have to address the underlying causes instead of keep band-aiding things.
What causes mental health?
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of things. Trauma. I mean, a lot of it comes from trauma, chemical imbalances. Sometimes it's hereditary. Sometimes it comes from economic opportunity, the lack thereof. Some people feel like they, you know, for example, let me give you an example. If you don't have parents in the home, right?
Right.
You're going to struggle economically.
That's the first problem.
And then you may have some issues psychologically. Why did my parents leave me? Why isn't my dad around?
Yeah.
You hear about girls having daddy issues.
Yeah.
That's a mental health situation. And it's because of the breakdown of the family.
Amazing.
That's why we need people like you to keep preaching what you preach.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone. What do you think about the way Karen Bass, the mayor of the city, is handling that? She tend to be like putting these people up, giving them money, but they're not really getting help.
100%. I think it has a lot to do with leadership. I want to really put an emphasis on this. We keep putting politicians in executive roles. There's three branches of government. I know you know that. A lot of people probably don't. Legislative, judicial, executive. The judicial, you can't just walk in there and be in the judicial branch. You got to have a law degree and some type of experience practicing law.
Yeah.
The legislature, yeah. Any Joe Blow, I'm not going to say Joe Blow, but anyone who cares about their community could get into the legislature. You don't have to necessarily have any very strict, it's not as strict or limited as to who could be in the legislature. But the executive role, people act like being an executive is nothing. You know, meeting the payroll, KPIs, key performance indicators, measurables, that requires some experience. This is the fourth largest economy in the world. You're going to put a guy who has zero executive background into that position. That's dangerous.
Maybe.
And so Karen Bass, no offense against her. I met her several times. Nice person. I think she means well.
I debated her before.
Oh, you did?
Oh, mess.
How did that go?
I was talking to an empty bottle.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but...
No, I'm not being mean.
I'm just saying.
I was stunned. Yeah, I know you're not saying I am.
Right.
I was stunned when they elected Karen Bass for mayor of Los Angeles. I was like, how did that happen? This woman doesn't know her way out of a paper bag.
And it's almost...
That how she functions, she has no clue what's going on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have no executive background. She's been in the legislature her whole career, her entire career. Just think about it, though. I mean, it's not... This shouldn't be that difficult. So when we have... When our voters are out there looking at these people running for office, what have you done? How are you going to do what you're proposing?
Right.
And how are you going to do it? Like, there's only three questions we really have to ask. I'll say it again. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? And why you? And why you is what does your resume look like?
That's right. That's amazing.
We make things so difficult. Keep it simple, stupid. You heard that, right?
Yes.
We got. Why do we make stuff so complicated?
Yeah.
So anyway.
When all that fire happened in L.A. recently, last year, I guess, all that fire in Malibu and those places where the homes were burned down and everywhere, what were you thinking about that? And what should have been done? If, I don't know how much you know about it. What should have been done about that? Why did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the fires ever since, what was that one up north a little bit? I can't remember the name of it. It's escaping my mind. But we've been dealing with, I live in Stevenson Ranch, and there's fires all the time over there. And the conversation comes up often in the media and elsewhere about controlled burns, you know, getting rid of the fuels and the ember, like things that obviously going to cause fires. We haven't done a whole lot of preventive measures to
address
that.
You're totally right about the controlled burn. I haven't seen them do that in years
that's
in California. That's just common sense, though.
I remember Trump came out. I know his name. Every time people hear his name, they lose their mind. But
the
Great White Hope. Well, I'm just Jack Johnson.
He actually pardoned
Jack Johnson.
Who? Trump did?
Trump did.
See there?
Did you know that?
Uh-uh.
He was the one fighting all the Great White Hopes back in the 20s, 30s?
Yeah.
But he had talked about, way before these fires, about what we need to do to prevent them. And we didn't do one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not, this is not a pro-Trump thing. I'm just saying he mentioned this at like eight years ago.
Right.
And we didn't do anything about it. So it's poor leadership.
You know, I was surprised when they didn't do burn stuff down, you know, before fire. Because when I was growing up in Alabama, every year they would do those fire burn things so that the weeds and stuff wouldn't just burn out everything. I didn't know they would not do that in a city, in a state like California. I was stunned. Why do you think they didn't do it?
I think it's just the... incompetence. I'm trying to be nice, but that's the only word that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's anything malicious or anything like that, but these people want these jobs for their career, but they get in the job and they don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
And I really think it's dangerous, to be quite frank.
So why do people vote in the same people over and over and over every year when they approve they're not going to do the best for the city, for the state? Why do the voters still vote in the same people?
Vicious cycle. Same thing you see in the communities, in the hood. Vicious cycle. You got to stop the cycle. And you stop the cycle by exposing what's killing us.
Yeah.
So we have these machines, the Republicans and the Democrats, and those machines are, that's money. You know, there's a lot of money behind those. And I'm running as an independent.
Okay.
I don't have those machines behind me. So the media, you see Swalwell on the news all the time. You see all these other candidates on the news all the time because they have those machines behind them. And so the voters think that's all there's out. That's all I have to choose from.
That's
so they're picking the best of the worst, if you will.
Yeah. I remember when Larry ran, we had done a recall of Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Larry ran, and I was sure we're hoping that Larry would win because I knew he would be good for the city, for the state. And I couldn't understand why during the recall, the people still voted for Gavin Newsom, and he has proved that he wasn't going to do anything good for the state, and they still voted him back in again. They had a chance to get him out. Isn't that, like, amazing?
Some people are just, they rip their shirt up and they have a D or an R on their chest. Come hell or high water.
Yeah.
You know, when people go to the polls, the first thing you look for is R or D. Okay, R,
oh, that's
R,
a good point.
D. They don't, you know what I mean?
They don't look at who's running and why.
People are sitting in traffic 4 hours a day, 2 hours work, 2 hours back.
Yeah.
They get home, they wolf down their dinner, help the kids with the homework, go to sleep, get up, do the same thing over again. Then on the weekends, they go into soccer practice, they're going to soccer game, basketball game, softball game. They ain't got time to sit here and do all that investigation. And by the way, nowadays with all this technology, there's not a whole lot of investigating to do.
Right.
Hey, ChatGPT, what about blah, 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 blah? You probably get, you know, well, we had to read encyclopedias 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. You got it right here in 10 seconds, 5 seconds. So hopefully this technology will help us get to where we don't keep suffering like we're doing. Hopefully.
I've read that you want a harm reduction approach to drugs. What does that mean?
Harm reduction approach.
To drugs.
I think that goes back to what I was discussing with mental health. So here's my whole, just because the drugs is a thing you see a lot on the street.
Everybody and their mama on drugs, except baby Jessica's daddy.
Well, you know, you lock people up for drugs. The time they're incarcerated, they're probably not doing it, but a lot of times they still get drugs in the jail. They need real treatment. And I would even say the criminals need real treatment on how to not no longer become criminals or do criminal activity. They need education, and they need to test out. I think having a true corrections, you're educating people why your crimes are painful to others, why it's not, you know, and actually quiz them out of it. Don't just talk to them. Make sure they got it and they understand it. But going back to the drug question, my homeless task force will actually go to these people and not go drive by them like we do now. We need to drive to them and find exactly what they're suffering from. Whether it's, you know, mental health, whether it's addiction, whether it's, you know, the rent went up $200 last week and now they don't know what to do. Uh-huh. Find out what the issue is and address the issue and help these people have a bridge to home, a bridge to recovery, and make sure if they slide, they have some support system. Like most of us have support, right? We have a mom, dad, cousin, brother, somebody who cares about us that helps us out. A lot of these people don't have that support.
It looked like most people don't want to overcome their misery. It looked like they love being drug addicts and alcoholics and unhappy and angry and out of control. How will you help those people that don't want to be helped?
So I hear that often. And when I spoke to people down there, I would say there was one couple that was fine being on the street, but everybody else wanted to get help. But the ones that are fine and don't want help, there's two ways to handle this. My initial thought, and I got to give my wife some credit for this because she had me rethink this, but my initial thought was, hey, you want to live on the land? We'll make sure there's a place where you can go live off the land, right? You want to go hunt and gather and all that? Because that's because we're not going to keep just giving you stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? We out here working. You either get with us or you go do your own thing. That was my initial thought. But, you know, the other thought was, you know how you have hostage negotiators?
Yes.
You have homeless negotiators. Hey, let me talk to you. Let me figure out. Let me help you get, you know what I mean? And you somewhat, I don't want to say, you encourage them to get the help that they need.
But how do you encourage them?
Having someone who's skilled in negotiating.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So, and then this other guy talked me into something else. I got to add this real quick because I wasn't thinking along. And he was super liberal because he was also homeless, he told me. And when you're homeless, psychologically, you're really in a bad place. So you're not thinking about getting a job and trying to better yourself. You're just like, man, I can't even imagine. I've never been homeless, you know. So long story short, he said, give these people a small facility to live in where they could, you know, eat, sleep, take a shower, what have you. And when they're ready, if they're ever ready, they'll seek the help that is being offered to them.
Mm.
I said, what if they want to stay there for 10 years? He said, let them stay there for 10 years. I thought, okay, I guess they won't be on the street. And that, you know, I don't know. So anyway,
I've seen homeless people on the street, and they collect a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've seen, at the post office, I've seen people over there begging for money. And they, like, have buku money.
People walk
by there and give them, like, tons of money. And then at the end of the day or whenever they're ready to leave, they have a car or a truck parked down the road there. And they go get in their car, and they're like, better off than the people that gave them the money.
Yeah.
And so she,
I haven't seen a lot of those. I'm sure they exist.
I know a homeless person right now that has a pickup truck, that has a Range Rover. No, he doesn't have a Range Rover. He has a G-Wagon. And
you need to video that and put
and
it
he
on.
He bought cars for his children. He bought one car for his son, and his son didn't want it.
And but it wasn't good enough.
But yeah, he'd go out, he'd stand on the corner and make buku money. And then he parked down the road, and when he's done making money, he get his stuff and go home.
In his G-Wagon.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say it's not true, but I've never seen
it. And so my question
like
is, yeah. Shouldn't people stop giving the homeless money when they're asking for it?
Yeah, I think as a society, I believe in Maslow's hierarchy. You familiar with Maslow?
No.
It's a pyramid. So the bottom layer of the pyramid is just basics, food, water, shelter.
Right.
The next level is safety, security. The next level is love, affirmation, and it goes up to, you know, giving back, so to speak. So I believe the government, especially in California, especially in the United States, we have a role of at least helping people, provide people at the bottom layer of Maslow. So as far as people, I think that's still band-aiding, Jesse. I think that's still band-aiding. You just give them $5, $10 here, and they're going to just smoke that up or drink
that
up.
They are.
So we need our leadership to do more. That's kind of where I'm at. And that's why I threw my hat in the ring.
And so you believe in police reforming the police with accountability measure?
Reforming the police. I think the police should be held accountable for bad actors. I think the bad actors should be held accountable. I don't know if we need I think we probably need to do a little bit better with our training. We could probably do a little better with our training. There shouldn't be people losing their life because of the lack of good training.
Yeah.
But you got to pay for it, so you don't want to defund it. Right? You got to pay for that. So, I think you... And by the way, I think you should always be trying to improve. Right? Constant learning new technologies, new ways of doing things. So, yeah.
There was a debate set up the other day...
USC.
At USC, according to a report. And because it was all white people running, no people of color, according to a report... USC, according to the report, canceled the debate because there were no people of color in there. What do you think about that?
I think they canceled it because they were getting a little too much heat.
What do you mean?
I was at an event, and there were some USC people there.
Some what?
USC staff.
Right.
And they're like, hey, man, we don't like this bad. They don't like that negative, media. But one thing I want to say is when you look at the polls— the highest polled people, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever you want to call it, they were white. And the Hispanics and the blacks, they just had low polls, low polling numbers. So should they have canceled it? I don't know, man. I think they probably could have had everyone that polled over a certain amount on the stage so it didn't look weird. Because they know people are going to
probably...
They should have been smarter than that.
Yeah.
I think.
They should have held it anyway. Just because those people in color were... That doesn't even make sense.
Well, I just think people are so heightened right now when it comes to... I told you, man. Let me tell you something. And whoever don't like it, I would love to hear how you think about this. It's okay to acknowledge something or see a wrongdoing, but it's, I think, even more importantly, to do something about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear you crying and then just go lay down crying and get and do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Just, you remember O.G. Gurley? Maybe you don't. O.G. Gurley started the Black Wall Street in the early 1900s. And he did something about it.
Yeah.
He had the best schools, the best libraries, great banks and businesses. Obviously, they didn't do a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. The threat was getting burned down. But there's no reason why you can't do that again and duplicate that everywhere.
Well, black people used to be that way when in the good old days, they were more innovative. They didn't, even though the Jim Crow laws, black people just did what they had to do to take care of themselves. They were businessmen. They were professionals. They were family men and family. That's gone now. And it's just not there anymore.
Well, they say a lot of it had to do with the drugs coming into the neighborhood.
They always blame it on something.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the African slave trade started with Africans. So we got to look at ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
you know. Sometimes you gotta look at yourself.
That's right. Amazing. There's a, according to a report, there's a terrorist threat, Muslim terror threat on America, on California and other states. I think we have like four of them already. What will you do about, I know you don't know exactly to get in there, but what's a way to deal with Muslim terror threats?
Muslim because, terror threats?
Yeah, because of all this stuff that's happening in Iran right now.
Right.
How should we deal with that?
Well, I think the main thing you have to do, which we should have done, what we should have been doing is, man, we got to know who's coming in and out of this country.
Yeah.
You can't just have anybody coming in here. The one thing that makes me a little nervous, though, when I hear about the drones and stuff like that, that could be a little scary.
That's interesting, absolutely.
We're patrolling our airspace, because I know we caught that Chinese drone a few months ago.
Yeah.
So we're paying attention, but we need to be a little bit more hawkish on that.
You know
what I mean? But as far as look, either we're going to have borders or we don't. Okay?
I rest my case.
Do a petition. Say, we don't want borders anymore. And if we all vote for no borders, then okay.
Yeah.
But you talk to most people, they want borders.
They want borders, yeah.
So you can't have both, man. You got to pick.
And which do you want, border or open border?
I like to know who's coming in and out of my country.
Right on.
I like to know.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the blacks?
Well, I think we just touched on a lot of it.
Yeah, we did.
We got to get out of it. My son hates this word, the victim mentality. He hates when I use it, but we got to get out of that. We got to get into the what we're going to do about it mentality.
Yeah.
Be innovative. And don't talk about what you're going to do with a gun or nothing like that, but what can we do, right? Do we need to open up more businesses? Do we need to have private equity or venture caps to help these companies thrive and grow? Do we need to have more mentorship in the black business community? And, you know, I hesitate to say what I was going to say, because I'm not trying to make it a black-white thing. I think we need to be an example of how to be colorblind. I'm helping 100%. You as a human being.
Yeah.
I don't care what color you are. You could be as white as snow. If you need help, I'm going to help you, you know? And, you know, as far as the black people, we shouldn't have to make you get help. You should want to do better. You know what I mean? So you got to take some accountability. You got to look at yourself. Last thing I'll say on that note, I firmly believe in any at-risk neighborhood, school, environment, community, I think you have to stop the cycle. And how you do that is you hit them while they're young. And not a before school or after school program, but maybe in homeroom, you fill the void where the lack of good parenting exists, right? You get that kid that's not getting a meal or is not getting a conversation with a responsible adult, whatever you want to call it. And that kid will most likely end up doing well when they get out of school, they go to college or whatever, start a family, and stop that cycle. I think that's how you end what we're seeing in some of these neighborhoods.
The problem with that is, in the schools nowadays, they're not teaching the children reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're teaching them about social issues and how to hate America and white versus the blacks and all that. They're not teaching them basic skills like reading, writing, arithmetic, history, so they can go out and have a life.
100%.
So don't we need to get rid of the teachers or something?
We got to hold people accountable, man.
Right.
You're not, if these kids come out of this school program and they have below a certain amount, a certain number, right? We score everything. Whatever you measure can be improved, right?
Yeah.
So we measure how they're doing. And if you're in charge of it and ain't getting done, I'll give you a little time to get your stuff together, but if you don't get it together, you out of there.
Right on.
And we're going to pay the people who have these jobs really well. We're going to take really good care of them, but you got to perform.
Absolutely.
By the way, in terms of school, I think the first thing a black person learns, because I don't like when they group people of color.
I
hate that.
Oh, good.
Oh, so I'm the same as an Indian or you know what I mean? Like, there's no, I hate that grouping, people of color. But the first thing a black kid learns about his skin tone is that he was a slave. That's not gonna work.
All right.
So, you know, I'm governor or anyone in charge of curriculum, the first thing you're going to learn about, I think everybody should learn this in kindergarten, first grade, is everybody's, all human beings started in the same place, and we migrated around the globe.
Yeah.
And that's why we look different. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
You never hear that.
It's funny that I grew up in Alabama under Jim Crow laws and all that. I never heard a black person or a white person, or a teacher, or my parents, or anyone tell me, or anyone, that they can't make it. You know, they said that treat people the way you like to be treated, work hard, do what's right, and there's nothing that can stop you in this world, really. And I never grew up thinking that there was something that could stop me. It just wasn't a part of my thinking. I went through a lot, especially when I moved out here from Alabama. But I never thought about giving up, or I never thought that I couldn't make it. I wasn't thinking about if I was going to make it or not make it. I was just earning a living, getting apartments, doing what I needed to do.
Just getting it done.
I never thought that I couldn't make it in life. It wasn't a part of my thinking at all. But this is like something new when they tell you you can't make it because of your color, or you can't make it because of slavery. Or this is, it keeps people from making it because you take away their hope right away.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Right out the gate. You know, I can't stress how devastating it is to see young people or even older people.
Yeah.
Man, that ain't for me.
I know.
That ain't for me. You look at my skin, that ain't for me.
I know, that's horrible.
It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So I want to start a movement of, if nothing else, choking at it. If I could make it that type of a mark before I leave this earth, I think I would be doing a huge service to mankind, you know? Because at the end of the day, Jesse, we're all human beings, man.
That's right.
You know, when I look at any situation, that's a human being just like me.
Yeah, great, man.
You know, if I'm trying to win, I got to figure out, maybe learn the game a little bit, see what's going on.
Right.
Oh, okay. And then I strategize and I execute.
I'm going to have to put you on the hot seat here in a minute.
Please.
But are you surprised that, I mean, growing up, you never thought one day I'm going to run for office, right, as a politician?
I grew up like you.
Yeah.
I grew up like you with sky's the limit, like Master P.
And so are you surprised that you finally at a point where that's the next step in life, you're going to run for governor of California?
Mm.
No? Right on, man.
I look at all the previous, governors or senators, presidents. I look at all the previous people in any position, really, and I look at their journey, and I'm like, man, these are just regular people who came from privilege, some came from nothing, and they just went for it.
Are you ready for the debates and everything that's going to happen?
Hopefully. Well, I mean, look, man, yes, first of all, and second of all, I can't remember what number I was on, but am I ready for them? Look, man, I wouldn't even be doing this if I didn't think I was ready to answer the hard questions.
Yeah.
You know? And I also want to give other, you know, if I get a question I think needs to be expanded upon and maybe have the others answer, I'm going to push for that. Because I really think the people need to know three things. Who are you? What are you going to do? And why are you the guy to do it? You know? They don't ever talk about that.
Yeah.
They talk about issues that are, like you said earlier, like they teach in school, the agenda
right.
items. That's not going to help people pay their bills.
They don't teach people how to live. They teach them how to die, how to be victims.
Yeah. See, we're agreeing too much, man. You know.
Oh, man.
Give me some hot seat stuff. Maybe I can cause some controversy.
So I got to put you on the hot seat. But so you're running as an independent. And when you win, because you believe you're going to win, right? You know you're going to win.
Well, I have an issue that I'm going to have to run again next time.
What do you mean?
I just found out. They just called me. I emailed one of your people. I just found out that they, and there was an article written about it. The express mail service from the post office delivered my tax return, copies of my tax returns a day late. They did. I shipped it on time, but they delivered it a day late, and they took me off the ballot.
They took you off the ballot?
Yeah. I've been at this for a year and a half. I got all the signatures. I paid all the fees. I got all the forms filled. I did everything. But the post office, not me, the post office delivered it a day late, and now I'm off the ballot. That's it.
Oh, so you're not running this time around?
I have to run next time around.
Really? That's crazy.
It's super crazy. We spent thousands on attorneys. We've been to Sacramento 2 or 3 times fighting in the courts. They're like, can't do nothing for you.
So you're not running this time around?
I up until last week, yeah.
And so were you able to prove that it was because of the delivery of the mail?
100%, yep.
But that didn't matter?
Didn't give a darn. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
It took a couple days to recover from the shock and depression. But I'm a fighter, man. I'll be back out there. It's okay. It's okay.
Wow, so you're not ready this time around. When is the next chance?
Well, I mean, 2030 for governor. So in the meantime, I might do state senate, maybe state assembly. I'm trying to figure out, you know. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know business. I've been in business for 30 years. I know business inside and out. And I know how to be an executive, so I know how to do the job of an executive.
All right.
The political world is a whole other animal.
It is.
It is. You know, I hate bringing up Trump's name, but he said it best. He said, you know, I've been a New York businessman, but the politics is the dirtiest game I've ever seen.
It's a dog-eat-dog world.
So I need to learn that game a little bit more, not to necessarily join the pigs in the slop, but to learn how to win. And then once I win, I can help reform it. Because you're talking about needing reform. Our political system needs reform.
It does. That's amazing you're not running this time around. Wow. Amazing. But anyway, I got to put you on the hot seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible. That is amazing you're not running for governor.
It's devastating. Not only for me, but for the voters.
Yeah.
I'm a refreshing alternative to the status quo, I think. Independent, common sense, results driven, you know.
What did your wife say when you told her?
I think she was a little relieved. She's kind of anxious about all this, you know, attention. But she was on board.
Right on. Okay. I need you to answer these as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
The hot seat.
Did you take the jab?
Did I take the jab? No. Yes.
You know what the jab is?
No.
Remember when they were telling us we needed to take the
jab? Oh, the shot.
Yeah.
I didn't take it.
You did not
take it. I stood my ground. I never took it.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Probably abortion. Slavery's been around since the beginning of time. I guess abortion has been, too. But you said that I got to do it quick, so they're both bad.
What is a woman?
Well, if you look at XY chromosomes, if you look at chromosomes, if you believe in that, it'll tell you if you're a man or a woman. And a woman, has the reproductive system where they give birth to another, human being. We're talking about women. So, yeah.
Should white people be allowed to say the N-word?
Absolutely.
Absolutely?
Yeah.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
False. I have a daughter, so.
What?
I gotta be careful. I have a daughter.
Do we need more white babies?
No.
Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
No.
Does Iran need a regime change?
I like to have more information on that to make that answer concrete. But from what I'm getting from the news that we get, the news that we consume, yeah, they need one. But there's some other things I'm learning that I don't know.
Amazing. Should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
That's a great question, actually. I don't think so. I don't want to see anybody get hurt unnecessarily.
What?
Do they get hurt?
So you say no or yes?
I say no.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
No.
Have you ever had sweet potato pie that was so good, made you want to slap your mama?
I never really liked sweet potato pie, but I've had some cheesecake that made me want to throw one at her.
So you like pumpkin pie?
Cheesecake. Pumpkin pie, yeah, over sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes, I just always had a weird thing with sweet potatoes.
You really are white.
White people don't like sweet potatoes?
No.
Really?
Well, some like it, but
I didn't know that.
Pumpkin pie is a white thing, and sweet potato pie is a black thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you white?
I love sweet potato pie.
Are you white?
I am not pumpkin pie at all. I don't like it. At all. I've tried to eat it. I don't like it. Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
Yeah, if she needs to lose some weight.
Does a chicken have lips?
They have a beak.
True or false? Excuse me. Sending your child to a public school is child abuse.
False.
False?
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
Yes! Best time ever.
Amazing.
Thank you, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing, too.
Thank you, man. Tell the folks how to your website or whatever information, your business, or whatever you want to put out there.
Oh, yeah. If you want to learn more about Leonard Jackson, you can go to leonardjackson.com. I don't think they took my gubernatorial website down, so that's lj4ca.com. And my company is Norfleet Transportation.com. So if you need anything shipped all over the world, you contact us. And thank you.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forgive me, I've been talking all day. Don't forget to support the Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or Jesse Lee Peterson, locals.com. Locals.com and get my coffee. It is so good. Get Punchy's coffee at JesseLeePeterson.shop. Like, follow, ring the bell. Y'all know what to do. And also, check out the merch. I do shout outs too. Birthday shout outs, wedding, anniversary, congratulations, encouragement. Go to Cameo, CAMEO.com/JesseLeePeterson. And last but not least, if you'd like to see more guests, interesting guests on the show, contact my producer@thefallenstate.tv. Thank you, man. That was amazing.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Nice.
Good stuff.